So wow, welcome to everyone here, wherever you came from, to our new and temporary sangha or community here at Te Moata. And it's great to be back here on this beautiful land and in the capable hands of Mark and Lorraine and all of the service team, who know how to support these retreats so well. And just as many of you know, when the retreat goes smoothly, like it always does here, it can be easy to take it for granted. But I know from my own experience of managing retreats in Australia and in the US, just how much work goes on behind the scenes to give the appearance of everything flowing along smoothly and effortlessly. So I just wanted to thank the service team and Lorraine and Mark for creating that beautiful container for us to dive into. And then on the other side, the experience of being a meditator coming into retreat, I'm always surprised every time just how much effort it takes to extricate ourselves from our daily lives. And that's been especially true perhaps for this retreat, with the postponement, the starting later dates, and then having to change things, and then last week the tsunami evacuation on Friday, and part of me was wondering, okay, floods, and there was a fire for one of my relatives, so I was partly wondering about when are the plagues of locusts going to be happening. So there were all these different hurdles that it felt like we had to get over just to get ourselves here. And we made it. So here we are. Congratulations. Congratulations on getting all of those practical issues sorted out. And congratulations on getting the inner issues sorted out. And perhaps those inner issues were maybe even more intense than on a usual retreat because of those changes. So it took some patience, some kindness, some equanimity to stay steady with that uncertainty on top of all the, whatever the usual pre-retreat anxieties and concerns may have been. And to be, here we are now moving into something new and unfamiliar. And even if you've done quite a few retreats here before, you know that each retreat is different. We never really know what to expect. So I'd like to take a moment just to acknowledge that we made it here. And just to let that in. So when I come into retreats these days, I like to try to take a little more time and space to allow ourselves to make that transition a little more consciously, a little more humanely. Because I think in ordinary society that most of us live in, we're not so good at acknowledging transitions. We tend to treat ourselves almost like machines or computers, and we just plug, unplug, okay, now we're here, let's do it, let's go, next, 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 next. And we don't take into account that we are human beings with organic flesh and bone bodies, with nervous systems, and that our organic being needs time just to orient to that change. So even though your physical bodies might be sitting here in this room now, where are your minds? Some of you, they might be back at home wondering if you did tell your partner to do that thing that they had to do that was very important in the middle of the week. Trying to work out whether you really did get that task finished at work on time. So some of you might be only half listening, or perhaps not listening at all. Okay, some people are listening. So I'm saying all this just to emphasize how normal and natural it is And yet many people believe they should be able to just switch everything off that they were doing just before, immediately get themselves here, get into retreat mode, get with the program, as they say. And then when that doesn't happen as quickly as they like, they get frustrated, they push harder, which usually makes them very tired. And often the first day, maybe 2 days of a retreat, are just a battle with tiredness, low energy, judgment, frustration, and so on. Does that sound familiar to any of you who have done retreats before? Certainly in my own practice and observing others, that's often very common. So for this retreat, to try to minimize that syndrome, we're going to start a little bit differently. And we're going to have, because we have the luxury of 9 whole days here together, tomorrow morning we're going to have a more open retreat schedule to let ourselves ease in to the more usual retreat structure so that we can take time to let ourselves more fully arrive here. And hopefully to make a more conscious and humane transition from our everyday lives out there to the slowing down, the simplicity, the solitude, the silence of being here on retreat together. So tomorrow morning we'll have a full morning of just easing in, and I'll say more about how that might look when we get there in the 9 o'clock session tomorrow. For this evening, I'd like to start with the way the Buddha is said to have started his teachings. According to the discourses, whenever he was meeting with a new group of people, he began his teachings by orienting to the heart quality of generosity. So it's said that whenever the Buddha was invited to teach people he didn't know, he didn't just immediately launch into meditation instructions. Instead, he started to talk to them about the value of generosity. And perhaps that's because generosity is pretty much a universally valued quality. I think most people could agree, at least in principle, that being generous is a good thing. It brings practical benefits for ourselves and for others. So already, just in getting here, we've probably experienced many different aspects of generosity. Sharing rides, for example. Your willingness to take on the mindfulness and action task and the bell ringing. There are many different ways that generosity is already showing up here. And generosity comes from being able to step out of a narrow and self-centered orientation to the world. And to do that, we need to open our hearts, open our minds. And that openness makes us more receptive, more able to take in new ideas, new understanding, new practices, new ways of being in the world. And so this is another reason that the Buddha began with generosity. So in the Buddha's teachings, generosity is a very powerful quality of heart and mind. And it has many different expressions, many different nuances beyond what the simple English word generosity might suggest. So just to give you a little bit of a sense of that, in the teachings, the Buddha actually used 2 separate words to refer to different aspects of generosity. So the first word is probably the one most of you are familiar with. That's the Pali word dana. And this word dana refers to the act of giving and to the gift itself. And this gift could be money, it could be material things, it could be our time, our energy, our presence, even something as simple as a smile. All of those can be seen as acts of dana. But in the West, as many of you know, this broad understanding of dana has become perhaps a little narrow these days, at least maybe in lay retreat centers, where dana is often seen just in terms of making a donation of money usually at the end of a retreat or the end of a teaching. And it's true that the English word donation comes from this same word, dana. And it's true that this aspect of dana is very important. For sure, I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for the stream of generosity that I've received. Te Muata wouldn't exist without the contributions of thousands of people over the last 30 or so years who helped to create and shape and maintain this beautiful place. So that dana is one very important aspect of what the Buddha was referring to when he talked about generosity. But in his teachings, what's more important than the thing that's being given is the quality of the heart and mind that that generosity comes from. And for this he used a different word, the Pali word chaga. That's spelt C-A-G-A. So in Pali, the letter C is usually pronounced ch, in my, at least in my understanding. So chaga refers to the heart quality of openness that makes the dana possible. So that willingness to share, that motivation to make a gift, is the spirit of generosity. So chaga is the spirit of generosity, and dana is the action, the thing being given, the gift. So this spirit of generosity, of chaga, is a very powerful resource that we can develop at the start of a retreat. Metaphorically, we can think of it as like fertilizing the soil of our hearts and minds, so that all of the other good qualities can grow there. And actually the Pali word that's usually translated as meditation is bhavana. And literally that means cultivation, cultivating. And the same word is used for cultivating the heart and mind as for farmers cultivating their crops or gardeners cultivating their flowers, fruits, vegetables. So here we are cultivating our hearts and minds. And chaga, this spirit of generosity, is the fertilizer for that process. It provides the best conditions for our meditation practice to strengthen, to deepen, to ripen. And then from that strengthening and deepening and ripening, chaga allows all the other beautiful qualities to come forth. Qualities such as kindness, compassion, self-compassion, appreciative joy, gratitude, equanimity, steadiness, curiosity, calm, and so on. So it makes sense that the Buddha made chaga and dana the foundation of his teachings, because it gives us a very immediate experience of the benefits of this path. And it feels good. It sets up a positive feedback loop, one that really encourages us to continue with the practice. But don't take my word for it. Let's just take a moment now to see if that's true. So just for a moment, see if you can remember a recent experience of generosity. It doesn't have to be anything huge. Maybe perhaps when you were coming into the hall, somebody held the door open for you, or you held the door open for someone else. So just take a moment to see if you can think of a time of either offering or receiving generosity. And as you bring that example to mind, you might notice, what effect does it have in terms of how it feels in the body or the heart mind? Would anybody like to just name maybe one word of what quality that, how that resonates, that generosity? Anybody willing to say?
Freedom.
Freedom. Yeah, thank you.
Lightness.
Lightness, yes.
Expansion.
expansion.
Delight.
Delight.
Warm.
Warm.
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Well-being.
Well-being. Yeah, so very instant, immediate access to skillful qualities just from that touching in to dana and chaga. So we have a sense of the benefits of this connecting to and strengthening the quality of dana. And I'd like to develop that a little bit further now. As a way of us beginning to get to know each other a little bit more as we come together on the retreat. So I'm going to invite us into some relational practice, working together in pairs. This will be optional, but I'll give you the overview of what we'll be doing first, and then you can choose what you'd like to do. So this, we're going to be practicing mindful speaking and mindful listening. And that itself is an act of generosity, because sadly in our society, both of those are pretty rare. So when you speak, you're going to be sharing with your partner the gift of your experience. And when you listen, you're going to be offering the gift of your full attention. And we're going to be exploring this experience of generosity together. And then when you've each had a turn to share a little bit about your name, where you're from, your experience of generosity, then we're going to come back to the whole group, and I'll invite each of you to introduce your partner to the whole group. So, for example, I often like to pick on Kim. She happens to be sitting right there. If I was doing this with Kim, I would have 3 minutes just to talk about how generosity helped me come to this retreat. What my experience of generosity was in coming here. And so when I think of that, what comes to mind is the kindness of many of the emails that you sent me when we were having to scramble to change the dates. And so that felt like an experience of receiving generosity from me. So I'd share that with Kim. She'd share her experience, and then we came back to the group. I would introduce Kim, and I'd say, this is Kim. She's from West Auckland somewhere. And what she shared with me about kindness, generosity, was her experience of whatever she shared with me. So it's very quick and simple. You're just listening for the person's name, where they're from, and then one thing that strikes you about their experience of generosity. So that's the overview. If you would like to do this just as a simple, easy way to get to know your co-meditators, you might just find a partner now, someone nearby, and then set yourselves up spreading out through the room, both on the same level, so both on floors or both on chairs, just to make it easier. If you prefer not to do this, you can just slide out now. Maybe you can go next door and practice in silence, and then come back when I ring the bell.